sort of a weird face, kind of unattractive.
Yeah.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
Come on. Let's wake up.
With Jason Ross.
He is wise.
The only local sports talk show that helps you get through your morning commute. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHDK.
So there is a bunch of stuff going on around these parts this week and next week. The one we're really focusing on, and thanks to our friends at Power Business Technology, you can visit them at powercopiers.com and Two Rivers Roofing. Visit them online at Two Rivers Roofing Inc. That's INC.com. It's our celebration of the 20th anniversary of the King. I don't think celebration is the right term, but our observance, our viewing, remembering the run to the Western Conference Finals for the Sacramento Kings 20 years ago, 2002. Filled with, as Jason said, and Jason is off for the final hour. Jay is off today. Christopher Laud in studio. It is the epitome of bittersweet. It's the epitome of bittersweet. Because, yes, that was the greatest year in Sacramento Kings history. I don't think it's particularly close. And, yes, if they were healthy the next year, and yes, I get it. That's the greatest year in Sacramento Kings history. And the fact that you got to a seventh game of the Western Conference Finals is a big deal. It was never louder than it was that year. That team is almost passed completely into legend, like a fairy tale almost. But we know how that series ended, and we know all I have to do if I'm in a room full of Kings fans and I say Samaki Walker, everyone knows what I'm talking about. If I say 16-30 from the free throw line, everybody knows I'm talking about Game 7. And if I say Robert What's-His-Face, you know what? Honestly, I could probably say Robert What's-His-Face.
Redford?
I don't think most Kings fans are going to think Redford. Whatever that game show was where you say that, was it, Password? I think if I was in a room full of Kings fans and I went, Robert. Robert.
That's my move. Robert.
They're going to know. They're going to know. So we celebrate the run, but we also, it's not just, and I wrote this yesterday, it is a tragedy of Shakespearean proportions from a sports point of view. That on the 20th anniversary of the Robert Horry shot and the Hearts getting completely ripped out from every Kings fan that was around back then. Kings fans also spent yesterday watching Luka Doncic lead the Mavericks to a victory and advance over the best team in the NBA. And he didn't just, show up and do some things. He had 35 points. He had 10 boards. He had 4 assists in just 30 minutes. Keep in mind, he took most of the fourth quarter off. And somewhere wrapped in there, I don't buy into the whole narrative here, but the fact that one of the most beloved players in Kings history, one of the nicest men on the face of the earth, one of the purest souls you'll ever meet, whose jersey is hanging in the rafters, you cannot escape the fact that he is directly tied to the two worst basketball moments in Kings history. The tip out to Horry, which I maintain to this day, as does more importantly every NBA player ever, was the right thing to do. But still, it happened. And missing on Luka Doncic, which we have beaten that dead horse over and over again. Why does it come up again? Because Luka Doncic's team just beat the Suns by 33 on the road in a Game 7. Luka Doncic had as many points at the half yesterday, 27, as the entire Suns team. And as we talked about in the last segment, Luka Doncic and Spencer Dinwiddie become the first players to both score 30, first teammates to score 30 points or more in a Game 7 since Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant did in 2002 against the Kings. This is going to be a very difficult 2 weeks for me. I can tell you that right now, because things like this are going to happen where we're supposed to be talking about the Eastern Conference Finals. All I was doing was thanking our sponsors and just giving you a little preview. Next week, we're going to have some co-hosts come in studio. I don't want to share everything, but we're going to hear from some very familiar names. We got Bobby Jackson set to come in and co-host 8 to 9. I know Doug Christie's on that list. You know, we're going to reach out to Jerry and Gary. Anyways, we're going to hear from some familiar faces. Chris, I want to ask you this because this is something I've talked with behind the scenes with Jay Mars. And I want to get your opinion because if you're going to revisit the 20th anniversary, and I think you understand that this is incredibly difficult for me. But I said to him, listen, if we're going to have the conversation, that we're really, truly going to have the conversation and talk about it. Of course, we need to talk to Doug and, of course, we need to talk to Bobby and everybody involved.
They love talking about it.
Love talking. Yeah, yeah. And by the way,
actually, you know what? Doug loves talking about that time, but he hates talking about that series.
Well, and I don't even know. It's like it's crazy to promote it because when I have these guys in, you know, we're going to talk about all the fun stuff. Don't get me wrong. We're going to have fun. But at some point, we're going to talk about Game 7. What happened? Can you describe what was going through? What were you drained from game? You know, we'll get back into that. And I think a lot of people are going to be like, oh, God, I'd rather go to a colonoscopy. But in laying out the guests, I said to Jay, you got to get in the NBA Blue Book. You got to go down south and you got to ask if he can come on. Don't you have to have Robert Horry on? This is coming from me. I block people on Twitter for posting the gif of Robert Horry shooting the shot. But if you're really going to explore the 20th anniversary, don't you have to have him on?
Yes.
Okay. And like, I don't even know, even if he'd come on, which by the way, why would he? Hey, oh, can I go on in Sacramento and talk about my awesome shot? Yeah, sure. I don't even know how to get through that interview. Like, hey, Bob, what are you up to? Huh? Hey, remember that time you... And then he'll say something like condescendingly nice. Watch, like, yeah, you know, I mean, honestly, good thing I won that. Good thing I hit that shot because they were the better team. Listen, I'm just going to say it. Kings were the better team. Every time I hear that, I'm like, just shut up.
Here's the thing. They can't say anything that will make you happy.
There's nothing that... Well, no, there's not. No, there's not.
Even if they're like, oh, yeah, the refs were crooked and they stole it for us, would that make you happy?
No, because I came not peace, but I accepted that the refs were crooked in Game 6 a while back. And not in a, you know, that's the theory that's going to help me get through it mentally. It was a, nope, you know what, I've talked to enough people now. I've heard the same things from same people that don't know each other. I am absolutely willing to say that I would bet my life, literally, like, put me in the electric chair and flip the switch if I'm wrong. The Kings, the referees colluded to help the Lakers win Game 6. That is my confidence level on Game 6. I'm not joking. I'm 100% not joking. The only caveat there is I'll sit in that electric chair, but you have to put all the other refs in their own electric chairs and ask them under oath to be honest, or they get the switch flipped. And I'm telling you, I'm going to win that ball game. And it doesn't make me feel better. So join us for the next 2 weeks as we revisit the 20th anniversary and celebrate the Kings' run to the Western Conference Finals. When we get back, yeah, let's get to the Eastern Conference and Western Conference. Let's put all these together. Rodrigo Lopez, the captain. I always call him the captain, whether he is or not. The Sacramento Republic's going to join us at 8:30 to talk about a massive game the Republic have coming up a week from Wednesday. In the meantime, boy, do I have a conversation I got to have with you. And it's me talking about one of my favorite places to talk about. And that would be my friends at Obador. Hey, listen. Let me talk to you about my friends at Open Door. So much to talk. I've been using Open Door for a while now, which is great that they became a partner of ours on the morning show. Because I don't need any material for this. I'm a homeowner. I like knowing what I could sell my home for. And the way that homes have been sold forever, you know, things evolve. And Open Door is, it's kind of that evolution. Realtors, the crazy percentages they charge, and God knows how long it takes getting your home ready for a walkthrough. And then another walkthrough and another. Listen, there's something weird about having strangers roll through your home and grade it. And you got to go, you know, get a coffee or something for an hour. Forget that. Hundreds of thousands of people have already requested their offer from Open Door. Just go to opendoor.com. Put in your address. Tell them a little bit about your house. It takes a couple minutes. They'll make you an offer in minutes. Sell your home directly to Open Door. Skip over that traditional process. Get your free offer at opendoor.com/myoffer. That's opendoor.com/myoffer. How will the West be won? The East itself. And by the way, kids, we're a day away from the draft lottery. Rodrigo Lopez joins us at 8:30. There's a ton to get to. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The only place to get live and local sports talk in the morning. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. On the King of Sacramento Sports Talk, Sports 1140 KHTK.
Let's start with the Eastern Conference. We have our final four set in the world of the NBA. Carmichael Dave, Christopher Law behind the glass. We got all kinds of stuff going on here. Jason off for the last hour. He's going golfing. A little charity tournament of his. Jay Mars is off today. So, hey, it's me. And then, you know, the continuous summertime shuffle. I'll be off Wednesday. Who knows how that's going to it might just be Christopher Lott hosting on his own, which I'm not going to lie. I would probably listen to all 3 hours. I swear to God I would.
It would be interesting.
It would be. And top story today.
I think a lot of people would be upset.
I think they would too. You think 2.5 hours of Manchester United or Manchester United, Manchester City talk. Maybe a little wrestling in there.
Ric Flair, he's coming back for his final match.
There you go.
Age of 73.
That's a huge. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. At 73?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen.
And it's a rough 73.
And we all, listen, we all know the whole wrestling's fake, blah, 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 blah. It still involves, like, jumping and crashing and hitting things, dude. I actually might watch that out of, like, one corner of my eye. But then again, I mean, I guess if you're going to be 73 and he does end up getting injured, what better way to get injured than doing what you love, right? Isn't that where the whole woo thing came from that everybody does now?
Yeah.
I hate that so much. That actually makes me not like Ric Flair. Is Ric Flair universally liked amongst wrestling? As universally as you can be liked?
I will say he's respected.
Okay.
He's done some things that have come to light lately that are just like, ugh.
Oh, like non-wrestling things?
Yeah.
Oh,
gross, dude.
Ew. Is he, who is the most universally liked? Is it The Rock?
Wrestling? Stone Cold.
Is it Stone? Is it really?
Stone Cold, The Rock.
Was Stone Cold ever a bad guy?
Dusty Rhodes. Oh, yeah.
Who was the, we will move on because I cannot believe I'm sliding into this, but who was the, was he Latin? He died.
Eddie Guerrero.
I went down a rabbit hole and was reading about Eddie Guerrero, and it was like everybody, like he's like worshipped in that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean,
at the Cow Palace, he won like the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Which, like, he wasn't supposed to, right?
No, like against Brock Lesnar. Yeah. And me and my buddies were going there, like, oh.
Wait, you, cool to see. You went there?
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's cool that we're going to be here, but he's going to lose. Like, oh, yeah, da 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 da. Then he wins. The place exploded.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? They were saying that he might be the, what do they call it? That he might be the all time face. Is that what they call it of wrestlers? He's a face. Does that make sense? Am I using the
I wouldn't say that.
Am I not?
Because he's like baby face, but like he was like a bad guy. He's like a really good bad guy.
Oh, he was a bad guy?
Oh. He wrestled Rey Mysterio in a ladder match where Rey Mysterio's son's, what is it? Like when you're like the parent, legal guardianship was on the line.
Wait, what? Yes. Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah.
If he whoever won the match got custody.
Because
of
in the storyline, he was actually Eddie Guerrero's son, but Rey Mysterio couldn't have a kid, so he just. And then he wanted him back.
Are you this is not even
I'm not
a bit.
Joking.
Custody of the child was up for grabs.
Like, oh, we're not going to go to a court. You meet me in the ring.
When whoever won, when they won, did they like wrap the kid around his waist? Jesus. All right, Eastern Conference Finals. No, I do not think custody of anything other than the Eastern Conference Championship is on the line, though that would be quite fun. I am incredibly excited. Now, this may not be the most entertaining conference finals, but it depends on what you're entertained by. It used to be I was entertained by dunks and passing and, you know, flashy offense. That's how I grew up. And even at my favorite team of all time, those Kings teams, that's what they were. They were super flashy and fun, especially with Jay Will on the team. But now that I'm like a hardened, leathered veteran Kings fan of a 16-year playoff drought, I don't care about any of that anymore. Honestly, I'm looking at a box score right now from the Mavs and Suns. And, you know, you talk about the way that social media and all that works with algorithms. You talk about the way the news is disseminated to us. You know, you see those conversations. Well, I'm here to tell you there's a little bit of that when it comes to the NBA and how we are given that information. Now, you can look for all the information if you want to take the time. But your standard box score, minutes, field goals, three-pointers, free throws, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, turnovers, fouls, points. That is your standard box score. I'm here to say that I would very much like that box score. A lot of box scores added plus-minus a while back. I want your standard ESPN, NBA, whatever box score you see. Can we start coming up with some sort of a go-to defensive stat for individual players? Like what if in the box score it showed points for the player? For example, I'm just grabbing Jalen Brunson scored 24 points yesterday. Okay. And then, like, show the amount of points that the person he was guarding scored against him in the game. And then have that be your plus minus. What's the difference between what the player scored and what the player gave up? Because we have no emphasis on defense. You have to go to, you know, basketballdorkstats.org and look at defensive rating, which most people don't understand, defensive box plus minus, defensive win shares, and you think you know what you're looking at, but then it's like, well, who are they playing with and what are they surrounded by? But I think it's high time that we look at and realize, especially as Kings fans, you have to play defense and you have to have toughness. And when you look at this Eastern Conference series, what do you have? You have two teams that absolutely are brutal. They are physical. They are tough mentally and physically. They will play defense. They will knock you on your rear end. And I am a trillion billion percent here for it. I am 100 trillion billion percent here for Jimmy Butler and Marcus Smart just yammering at each other. Bam Adebayo, Robert Williams, he's healthy. I'm very much here for this, and that all starts at 5:30 tomorrow. We'll also have the NBA draft lottery as well, and I promise you we will talk more about that when we get back. The captain, Rodrigo Lopez, will join us ahead of the big Republic game next week. We've still got to talk about the Warriors and Mavs and tomorrow's draft lottery. Big last half hour. We'll get to it next.
Sacramento weather is brought to you by Quick Quack Car Wash.
I'm Tamara Berg in the KCRV 3 Weather Center. Welcome to your Monday. We'll plan for a comfortable morning outside, bright sunshine and breezy for the afternoon. Highs today in the mid-80s with southwest winds 10 to 15. Get the latest forecast on the KCRV 3 News and the KCRV 3 app.
I thought you went camping this weekend.
Just got back.
But your car, it's spotless.
I just rolled through Quick Quack on my way home, and I'm ready to start the week gleaming.
I'll be going there tomorrow.
Head to Quick Quack Car Wash for a shine that lets you defy expectations.
If you suffer from any type of ED, regardless of your age or medical history, the doctors at Pacific Men's Clinic can give you hope again. There's no pain, no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Just the newest available proven treatment using acoustic energy waves. PacificMensClinic.com.
Anyone here have an allergy? Resigned to admiring spring blooms through watery eyes? Trading the smells of summer for stacks of tissues?
I
We'll take that as a yes. Sunrise Natural Foods has the remedies you need to beat allergy season. Sunrise Natural Foods can help you overcome sinus problems and headaches. Sunrise Natural Foods will help you take back the spring and enjoy the season. Sunrise Natural Foods, made with life's best ingredients. In Auburn, Roseville, and at sunrisenaturalfoods.net.
Hi, Doug Christie here for the Good Feet Store. You don't have to have a 43-inch vertical leap like a professional basketball player to put major stress on your feet. An average adult puts the equivalent of several hundred tons of pressure on their feet every day. So it's understandable that things can go wrong, painfully wrong, with your feet, affecting your knees, legs, hips, and back. They did for me, but no more thanks to the Good Feet 3-Step Arch Support System. My feet, back, and whole body are feeling great. Trust me, you'll feel great as well. Prove it to yourself. Visit the Good Feet store. Get a free arch support fitting. Take the pair for a walk around the store, around the center. Stop living in pain. Come to the Good Feet store in Sacramento, Roseville, Stockton, and Modesto online at goodfeet.com. Tell them Doug Christie sent you. That's goodfeet.com.
Individual rates, coverage offerings, and savings may vary, subject to terms and conditions, not available in all areas. Small businesses are the backbone of America. Yet when it comes to workers' comp insurance, you rarely get the savings you deserve. That's because insurance companies tend to lump you in with other businesses, and you could get overcharged. At Pi Insurance, we're on a mission to change that. With Pi, you get a quote specific to your business, and you could save up to 30% with no hassle and no hidden fees. If you like savings, take 3 minutes to see how much you could save at trypi.com. Pi makes workers' comp insurance as easy as pie, with friendly representatives just a call away. No wonder customers rate our service excellent on Trustpilot. You work hard to build your business and keep your employees safe. You deserve more from your workers' comp provider. See how much you could save with Pi Insurance. Ask your agent for Pi or get a quote today at trypi.com. That's TRYPIE.com.
Time to check out Coastside Medical Clinic, who's dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men.
Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to text them right now.
916-339-1140. Sports 1140.
One other thing we're going to be doing in addition to the 20th anniversary of the Kings' run to the Western Conference Finals is we're going to be talking to some of our Republic friends as they're decently, I should say, into the season now. We're going to talk to the coach. We're going to talk to the GM. Next week, we will talk to the owner, Kevin Nagel. And we're about to talk to I will always call him the captain. He is, listen, there is no player name more synonymous with the Sacramento Republic from the get-go than our next guest. On the 25th, that is a week from Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., the round of 16 in the Open Cup. This is just the third time in club history. It's the first time they've had this at home. Fourth cup game against the MLS's San Jose Earthquakes. And here's the thing. 103 teams get in the tournament. The Republic are one of three non-MLS teams remaining. Over half of the MLS teams have been eliminated. And they're down to the round of 16. I can't stress enough how huge of a game this is. I want to get everybody out there. Go to SacRepublicFC.com for tickets. The man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Roro, Rodrigo Lopez joins us. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. Listen, first off, a belated welcome back. I know we did that privately, but honestly, man, the city's not the same with you. And just catch up your fans a little bit, because they know you've had some stints with this ball club. But what were you doing between your last go round and this go round? You did a little bit of traveling.
Yeah. I went out to Texas to RGV, and you know, I was there for a season. You know, a great club, a great facility, and good coaching, good ownership there. We were able to make playoffs, I think, second time in history there. I had a good run, and, you know, I think I had a really good season, so now I'm back in Sacramento. And like they say, you know, third time's a charm, so hopefully this time I stick around, and hopefully, you know, we're able to accomplish what we're all looking for this season.
You know, you know the fans out here love you. I'm just curious, and I know you're not going to – this is kind of a silly question. It's not like you're going to trash Sacramento or anything. But I honestly, what is it about this community, what is it about this ball club that keeps coming back to you, like you said, for the third time in your career?
You know, it's just ever since I came in 2014, you know, I was the first player signed in franchise history, and – you know, since day one, I was shown a lot of love, a lot of support, and, you know, obviously to accomplish that championship the first year and to see the excitement around the city and the love from the fans. And, you know, we just have some really diehard fans here in Sacramento, not just with us, but you see it with the Kings as well. You know, I love watching basketball, and I go to some Kings games, and I see a lot of fans. You know, I know they're not doing great, but the fans are always there supporting, and that's one thing I love about Sacramento. You know, we have really loyal, diehard fans.
Rodrigo Lopez with us. Yeah, I look at the record for the Republic, 15 points, currently in fifth place, tied for fifth, just three back of Phoenix, but you guys have a game in hand. That could be an effective tie. And am I right, Rodrigo, that record doesn't reflect how good this team is? This team looks really, really improved this year.
Yeah, no. I feel like, you know, we're a fairly new team. 80%, 85% of this team is fairly new. We're all new players, and it's tough, you know. It's tough to get that camaraderie, you know, especially playing against teams that have been together 3-4 years, and, you know, teams that already know each other, coaching staff, all that stuff. So, you know, right now we're starting to click, we're starting to get our identity. But, you know, since day one, we've had a great locker room. You know, the guys who came in are guys that are really hungry, that know what it means to put on the Sacramento Republic crest. And I think for me, that's the most important thing. You know, I've been here since day one, and I try to tell the guys, you know, how fortunate they are to play for such a good club and a great city. So, you know, in the locker room, we're all brothers, and we're all getting along well. And, you know, the coaching staff, front office, Kevin Nagel, Todd, and Mark have done a great job to put together a good team, a championship team, and, you know, now we're just it's just on the field, you know, getting to know each other as best as we can. You know, we've had such little time, but I feel like the guys are doing a great job. We're having a good season so far, and I know things are going to get better.
Tell me a little bit as we wrap up here. Tell me a little bit about the U.S. Open Cup. It's a week from Wednesday, 7:30 at home. You can get your tickets, by the way, at SacRepublicFC.com. You take on San Jose. Now, I've been down at Avaya Stadium, I think, a few years back. If I remember correctly, up 2-0 in the first, and then a couple of goals from a national teamer, and that didn't go the way we wanted there. But this seems like I don't want to jinx it, but a beatable San Jose team. You guys are one of three non-MLS teams left. This is a really big deal, isn't it, Roro?
Yeah, it's a huge deal, especially for us. You know, I remember that game you're talking about. We were up 2-0 at half. And Wondolowski scored both goals, went into penalties, and they ended up beating us. But, you know, it's a tournament where you could see the level of your team, you know, especially us as a USL team. I don't think there's a big difference in USL and MLS teams. The big difference is maybe five players from the MLS teams who make, you know, a lot of money. But other than those players, I feel like the level is comparable. And I feel like, you know, there's many players on our team who could be playing MLS. And I feel like there's a lot of their players who should be playing USL. You know, so it's just the margin is so small. So for us right now, I think it's a huge opportunity for us to make history, especially doing it at home with our crowd. With our fans, I hope everyone is able to show up next Wednesday because we're going to need their support. You know, when we play, we could feel that energy. We could feel the vibe from the fans. So I truly hope that everyone can make it out. It's going to be a great game. I feel like it's a game that we could win. And, you know, like I said, it's a chance to make history. And this club is all about making history.
It's 1 week from Wednesday, 7:30, right here at home, Sacramento, San Jose. And, in fact, the winner of that game, not that we want to look ahead, but you're going to play an L.A. team guaranteed, the Galaxy or LAFC. And, of course, you know all about the rivalries between Northern and Southern California, so it just gets better and better and better. It is good to have you home. I say home because you are an adopted son of Sacramento. You've always been fantastic with the community. I look forward to seeing you out at that game a week from Wednesday, and always appreciate your time, my man.
No, thank you, my man. I appreciate you, and I hope you guys are able to make it and see what this team's all about. I know, you know, we're excited. We have a big game this Wednesday, so we're really focused on that, on El Paso, which is a good team as well. And then we'll go from there, you know. But we take it game by game, and right now we're really focused on El Paso. And then, you know, obviously we're going to be super excited for that San Jose game.
Good luck, brother. Play well. Stay healthy.
Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye. That's Rodrigo Lopez. And, yeah, this is an interesting season. For the Republic out at Arhel Field. Remember, that El Paso game is going to be on the road. That's this Wednesday. Then they get a week off, and they play at home versus the San Jose Earthquakes. So that is that's going to be fun to watch. And those guys have spent some money and got the right people together. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do. And they do need that support, so get out there, please, Sac Republic. FC.com, SacRepublicFC.com to get your tickets. Back to the NBA. Warriors Mavs will be the second series on the docket as we are down to just four teams, which is almost a little bit depressing, I got to be honest with you. Four teams left. Just two more series before we quote a champion. Mavs Warriors will kick off at 6 p.m. Wednesday on TNT. Asked a question yesterday, who's the best player in that series? I'm not talking about, like, who would you build a team around and all that. And I think it obviously comes down to Luka Doncic and Steph Curry. Because you wonder, who is the best player in that series? I can tell you this. I mean, Steph Curry's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's done it all. And I'm not counting him out in any way, shape, or form. And he had a wonderful year. But statistically, it's not an argument. It's not. Doncic is scoring 3 more points a game than Curry. Doncic has 4 more rebounds per game than Curry. Doncic has 2.5 more assists per game than Curry. Now, you can talk about intangibles and this and that. Oh, you, that's fine. You can do that. Luka Doncic is a better player than Steph Curry. It's not arguable. You cannot come up with a logical argument that Steph Curry right now is better than Luka Doncic. You can't. It's not defensively. I mean, you can get into the margins, you know, Steph's, you know.
I don't think he does margarine.
You can get into the nooks and crannies. You can say that Steph is a decoy sometimes, and Steph takes so much pressure off of Clay and Jordan Poole, and Steph is, okay, but you're grasping at straws, because guess what? Luke is kind of a distraction too. I got news for you. When you look at what's surrounding Luka, at least offensively, compared to what's surrounding Steph Curry, are you kidding? Steph Curry's got 1.5, almost certainly 2 other first ballot Hall of Famers on his team. And we don't, and that's not counting the, you know, we don't know Kuminga or Poole are going to be. I'm talking about obviously Green and Dre and Clay. No, it's not like, you know, Steve Kerr, Mike Brown. I mean, he literally has 2 NBA head coaches currently coaching him. It's not an insult to Steph. I love Steph. I love his game, and I think he's amazing. But anybody trying to make an argument that right now Steph Curry is better than Luka Doncic is either a Warriors fan or not paying attention. The question to me is not that. Now, Steph may go out and have a better series than Luka. I think that is 100% on the table, because I imagine Draymond Green and friends are going to have a lot to say about what Luka does. And if you're telling me that we look back on this series, if you told me right now, dude, the Warriors are going to win in 5 or 6, and Luka is going to shoot 35% or less and have a terrible series. Well, you know what? That's what good defense and defensive schemes do. And you have a great defensive architect in Mike Brown, and you have one of the best defensive players, arguably the best defensive player in the league, in Draymond Green, and you have guys around him that are tough and play defense. This ain't going to be the Phoenix Suns defense, who, by the way, were better than the Warriors defensively, but they don't have, not Bridges, not Ayton, they don't have an individual defender like Draymond Green. And this ain't the playoffs where you're dealing with a seasoned team that has multiple rings. Doncic has his work cut out for him, but he is the best player in this series. We'll take a break. Hey, listen, normally we would do the news and what's hot, what's not, and all that. Are one of those sponsored, by the way? I don't know. I'll figure it out. But I want to focus on the draft lottery. I want to focus on the draft lottery coming up next. And when we get back, draft lottery tomorrow, we'll talk about it right after.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Air and Solar, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
All righty. All right, my thanks to our friends at American Energy Air. Go to AmericanEnergyAir.com, I should say. American Energy. Get that air conditioner taken care of before it gets really hot, would you? I'm telling you. Got a lot of what's hot, what's not, and all kinds of stats for you. We talked about how Luka Doncic and Spencer Dinwiddie were the first teammates to have 30 points or more in a game 7. Since the last pair of teammates to do it, Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant against the Kings. But they were also the first pair of teammates to each have 20 points and a half, in a game 7. Since Patrick Ewing and Allen Houston did it for the Knicks in the second half in 1997. Luka Doncic is hot, 27 points in the first half yesterday. The Suns not, 27 points also in the first half. Doncic becomes the first player in the last 25 postseasons to equal or exceed the opposing team's total in a half. The second youngest player in NBA postseason history with 35 points and 10 boards in a game. Tommy Heinsohn was 22 and 230 days. Wonder if Luka will go into broadcasting like Tommy did after. Someone gets a Luka point. Probably not. Who's not? Chris Paul. Chris Paul was so terrible yesterday. He had a plus minus of minus 39. That's the worst plus minus he's had in the playoffs in his whole career. But wait, it's the worst plus minus he's had in any game of his career ever. And just a couple of baseball notes. I thought this was actually interesting. All the years that baseball has been around, when something new gets set record-wise, I think it's notable. With the Cardinals' win over the Giants, they've now won 203 games all-time when Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina start. That's the most team wins in baseball history for a starting battery. That's actually really cool when you think about it. Who's not hot? Their teammate Albert Pujols. He made his first career pitching appearance yesterday in the ninth inning in his 2,988th game. That is by far the most games in baseball history by a player at the time of their first pitching appearance. Second, in his 2,441st game, Davey Concepcion, who I think was an old Red, too. I don't know. And finally, the Pirates. The Pirates became the sixth team in the modern era, that's since 1900, to have zero hits in a game and win. Last time it was done, June of 2008, Dodgers Angels. Cleveland did it in 92 versus Boston. The Sox, White Sox that is, 90 versus the Yankees. Tigers in 1967 versus the Orioles, and the Reds in 64. There's those Reds against Houston. All right.
I got a question since you're somewhat of a soccer person.
That's me. Remember, I got you into soccer.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of that's similar to losing a game where you get where you throw a no-hitter would be like losing a game where the only goal is an own goal.
Oh, my God.
So which would be worse?
Okay, I would say the own goal. Here's why. Because when you lose a game and your guys threw a no-hitter, it's like, well, who do you blame? The offense. When you lose a game and the only scoring was the own goal, whoever was responsible for the own goal, really doesn't matter how it happened, but whoever is responsible, those are the ones that are, you know, getting their car spray painted and bad songs sung about them. But either way, it sucks. Do you believe in penalty kicks, or do you think it should just go until...
Penalty kicks.
Yeah?
Like, if you watch the FA Cup,
yeah,
they were just... Both teams were just spent, and it was ugly. Like, the extra time was just like, oh, this is just go to penalties now, because neither one want to run down anywhere.
And Liverpool with the cup win. How about that?
Quadruple.
It's a big deal. The NBA draft lottery is tomorrow. This is a big highlight for the Kings fans. It's sad that this is a big highlight for the Kings fans. But it is. Let's be honest. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. And this will happen, I want to say, isn't it? It's a halftime of tomorrow's game, right? I should know this. 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock tomorrow. The Kings, well, I guess it's right before the Celtics in here. Used to be at halftime, I think. The Kings could pick all over the place. The most likely spot they will pick is 7th. They have a 32% chance of getting in the top 4. They have a 7.5% chance of getting the number 1 overall pick, which is just more than half the chances of Houston, Orlando, and Detroit, all at 14%. They were one lottery ball combination away from getting the number 1 pick in last year's draft and grabbing Kate Cunningham. I've said before, I think that I think this is the exact type of year the Kings would get the number one pick in the draft. They haven't had it since. They've had it once, Purvis Ellison. This is the exact type of year because we just don't know. Who's of the? We know the top three will most likely be, but then again, every year it seems that somebody sneaks in there. There will be some maneuverings. You look at your mock drafts now. Remember, Josh Giddey wasn't supposed to go that high last year. There's a number of players. Davion Mitchell wasn't supposed to go that high. I just simulated the lottery for the second to last time. We'll do it one more time in this simulation, and I'm always fair about it. The Kings fell one, they pick eighth. Oklahoma City moved up one to third, and moving up eight spots to the number one. God, tell me this isn't foreseeable. I actually don't like this, because moving eight spots up to number one, the San Antonio Spurs. What if the San Antonio Spurs ever moved up to win the lottery and end up picking a franchise center? Has that ever happened?
Maybe once.
I'm very eager for this draft lottery to be over. Obviously, I hope the Kings get a nice high pick. But whatever. Just get it over with so we know where we're picking, so we can see if Monty McNair is going to move the pick. I don't think he's averse to moving the pick at all. I think that the Sabonis-Halliburton trade really informs that. I think that tells you that he wants everybody on the Sabonis-De'Aaron Fox timeline. That doesn't mean he's not going to draft a 19- or 20-year-old if that's the case. I don't think he's averse to trading that pick. And really, other than having our first-round picks, whether it's in an Omri Caspi-Portland deal or the pick ends up going to Boston via the Philly deal, other than those two debacles, Kings don't really, I mean, when was the last time you remember the Kings trading that pick ahead of time? Doesn't really happen. But I think with the Kings having Harrison Barnes on an expiring contract, Rashawn Holmes, who is out of place now that Sabonis is here, whether or not you consider either De'Aaron Fox or Davion Mitchell tradable pieces because of the duplication, and that pick plus their future picks, we're going to have a lot to talk about that for, because Monty McNair's in the final year of his deal. There's no guarantees. This is his third season. He's on a three-year, I believe, with a fourth-year team option. I don't think Monty's the type of guy that's going to sacrifice the future, nor would he probably get clearance to sacrifice the future just so they could make a quick run to the playoffs. He said many times he wants to be what Chicago did last year. And his Vucevic is Sabonis. Well, if that's the case, then that lottery pick's probably going bye-bye. I think there's a very interesting offseason coming up for your Sacramento Kings, and I know we say that all the time, but again, when you have a GM going into his third year, when you have a fairly full cupboard, at least a full enough cupboard to make some maneuverings, I think you're going to see some very interesting things, and I think the whole beginning of that starts with tomorrow's draft lottery. We'll obviously talk a lot more about that tomorrow. Christopher Laud will be back with us tomorrow, as will Jason Ross, for a full show. We'll continue to look at the 20th anniversary and let you know some of our guests coming up next week of the 2002 run.
Hopefully Jason doesn't get crazy today for his birthday.
You mean just tie one on?
Yeah.
Come in tomorrow just hungover, smelling like Robert Downey Jr. in the 80s? I could see that. How much time do we have here? I don't have a clock. We have 2 minutes? Hold on, I was wrapping up. Wait a minute. It says it's 8:55 right now. We're supposed to be out at 8:57:45. I got to fill another minute and a half? Jeez. The head coach of the New Orleans Saints, by the way, Dennis Allen, says he thinks that Drew Brees' tweet hinting at a possible comeback was made in jest. Yeah, I buy that.
Seriously, he got popped. Like, That's the only way I could describe it, like getting all your ribs broken and a collapsed lung.
Yeah.
Like, you should not be getting hit anymore.
Mm-mm. No, as I said earlier, I wouldn't begrudge if Drew Brees wants to come back, he can come back. But I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it at all. Between the Eastern and Western Conference Finals starting tomorrow and Wednesday, respectively, I think the sports week starts in earnest tomorrow. You're going to have a conference finals game each night. You have the PGA starting Thursday. I'm sure someone will play baseball somewhere and will pretend to be interested in that. It was a very good, good sports week. Giants, by the way, in case you're wondering, starting a series with the Colorado Rockies, who I think at last glance they've beaten 17 times in a row or something like that. Can the Rockies break the streak? I don't know. And the A's host the Twins. We'll have coverage for you, I believe, starting at 6:30 right here on the Sporty 1140 tonight. So for Chris Verlade, who is out of sorts, coming in early and making it happen, we always appreciate that. For Jay Mars, we miss you. Can't wait to see him back. For Jason Ross, big 5-0, baby. Make sure if you see Jason, let him know how old he is. I'm Carmichael Dave. Jim Rome is next. Enjoy the rest of your day on Sports 1140 KHDK. Bye-bye now.